Well, we got some scripture today. First of all, I want to bring up 1 Timothy 4:8, and I want to just look at this one verse, 1 Timothy 4:8. And I want you to, this will be a good one for you to remember forever. And it's real easy because it's 1 Timothy 4, and then double the number, 8, 4, 8, 1 Timothy 4:8. I want you to see what this says here. This is in the NLT. It says, physical exercise has some value. Now, are we glad it does? Now, a lot of us, when it comes to, I mean, I think about, every time I read this scripture, I think about the woman down at the bank where I, the deaf peer Justin, she's got a sign there, and obviously she loves chocolate. She says, every time somebody mentions physical exercise, I go home and wash my mouth out with chocolate. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I don't eat chocolate hardly at all, so, I mean, I'm just not a chocolate lover. But it says physical exercise has some value. And it does have some value. In fact, yesterday, I was out working, and I come in just before dark, and I passed my son down there running on the road. And, of course, I've slowed down. I said, well, how many? He said, this is 13. I said, you've run 13 miles? He said, as soon as I get to the mailbox, I'll finish 13 miles. I thought, well, how many of us have run 13 miles yesterday? I can't hold my hand up, I guarantee. But I said, when I saw him this morning, I said, what are you exercising for? He said, well, next weekend we have got this 12-mile run somewhere. And so he's, you know, training for all that. But physical exercise has some value. Now, if you want to run a 12-mile run, do you think you could run 12 miles today if you had to? No, I couldn't either. You know, I absolutely couldn't do it. I might be able to walk it. If I had a few sit-down spots, I could rest all the way. But to run it, but it has some value. But it says, but spiritual exercise, it's much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next. Now then, what is spiritual exercise? Amen. Reading and studying and obeying and doing the Word. So that's why it's so important that we as Christians read and study the Word. Because if we don't read it, I mean, you know, we might have read it as a kid, you know, I mean, we might have been to Sunday school, we might have read through the Word of God, and, you know, maybe nobody emphasized anything as we read through. And, of course, as kids, I remember, you know, when I was a young man and I was in Sunday school, I was always thinking about what I had either done this past week or what I had to do next week. I was never concentrating on God's Word. So guess what I learned in Sunday school? That's right, not much or virtually nothing. I mean, I knew nothing. I had no scripture committed to memory. I didn't realize the importance of knowing the Word. And now then that I'm much older, I realize how important it is to know the Word. In fact, according to this scripture in 1 Timothy 4:8, which is the most important, physical exercise or spiritual exercise?
Spiritual.
Oh, absolutely, spiritual exercise by far. So then if spiritual exercise by far is the most important, why do we as the church don't spend any time in the Word? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Okay, so if it's the most important, then I suggest that's what we do today. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, start with verse 15, and we'll go down a few scriptures there. I think it's down through 26 is where I want to go. But let's go in 2 Timothy 2:15, and we'll use the NLT. I read it in all versions, but the NLT is very clear. Let's look at what this has to say in 2 Timothy 2:15. The first word there is work easy. Oh, that's not what it said, huh, Sharon? Oh, now, then, wait a minute now. That's almost like the physical exercise that we talked about, right? Work hard? Oh, I mean, you know, when you see the average man today, we have lost this. Work hard. We want a job that we can come in at 9, go home at 4, take a 2-hour lunch break, you know, and work as little as possible. And we're looking for the chair when we come in. Where is my chair? We don't want to work hard. People don't want to work hard. In fact, my nephew's son, when we were at Thanksgiving, we got to talking about what's happening in America. And somebody made a statement about the Mexican people that are coming across the border over here. And I said, yes, I think that we should have, everybody should speak English and English only in America. I don't think we ought to have voting records in Spanish. I don't think we ought to have everything in Spanish. If you come to America, you need to learn to speak English. And that's what we were talking about. And I said, if you're not willing to obey the laws of this land, the Constitution of the United States of America, then we need to send you back to wherever you come from. Now, I don't care what country you come from. If you're not willing to obey the laws of this land, then we don't want you in this country. Well, my nephew's son, which is about 30, I guess, 28 or something like that, he owns his own business. And he said, Thurman, he said, if we didn't have the Mexican people over here, we wouldn't have anybody that's willing to work. He said, it's very difficult to find a young American boy that'll get out there. And of course, he's in the house painting. He's a house painting contractor. He said, it's very difficult to find a young man that wants to get out there and work. They don't want to do nothing. He said, most of them been raised up with a father that had money, and he bought them the car and everything, and they didn't have to do nothing, and that's what they want to do, is nothing. And so he said, if we didn't have some of these Mexican people here, we wouldn't be able to get anything done. He said, when they come up here from Mexico, they know how to work. And he said, you can put them to work, man, they get things done. Well, I think that is probably true, but I was one of the generations that was not raised up like that. I was one of those young men that was raised up to work hard, just like the Word of God says. And that's, I've never changed. I've always been a hard worker, and I stay with it. In fact, I was down there working on a house the other day, and a lady that lived across the street, she's watching me, and after a little while, and after the end of the day, I finally met her, and she says, I asked my husband, who is that man? He runs 90 miles an hour. He don't never slow down. And she said, I can't believe this guy. Well, you know, what does Scripture say? Work what? How do you interpret that? What does it mean to work hard? Well, I mean, everybody don't understand that, right, Tom? Work hard. You know, some people say, well, yeah, I got to get up and go to work today. Oh, that's hard work. Just get there. Oh, Lord, give me a break. You know, I can remember when I was a 40-year-old man, I had a farm down in the valley. Of course, I was really young back in those days. But I'd hire two young men to help me. These guys are 16, 18, 19 years old, to haul square bales of hay. They weighed 60, 70 pounds. I had an alfalfa farm down there. And I would go out there in the heat of the day when it's in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, it wasn't uncommon to be 105 degrees. I'm out there taking those bales of hay and kicking them with my knee and throwing them up to the top to where we get a couple of hundred bales on that trailer, and I load them up there, and those boys stack them, and two of them up there trying to stack them, and the two of them couldn't keep up with me and me putting them up there, and all they're doing is grumbling and complaining, hot, we need to stop and get a drink. I said, you wimps ain't worth nothing. You need to be a man. So I said, if you stay with me, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to make a man out of you. See, that's what young men need today. They need a man that they can work with to show them what it's like to work. You don't need a man that can't do nothing, that don't know how to do nothing, to try to show a young man how to learn to do things. The Word of God says, work what? Work hard. Is there anything wrong with that, Betty?
No.
You're supposed to work hard at whatever you do, right? So work hard. He says, work hard so God can approve you. What if you don't work hard? Is God going to approve you?
No.
Not according to that Scripture, is He? God tells you to work hard, to be diligent. As we read the Scripture, does He tell us to be diligent about what we do for Him? Yes. I mean, I don't think God's a wimp, do you?
No.
I don't think God's slothful, do you?
No.
He's a worker. If we ever met a worker, He's a worker. And He's left an example for us. He said, work hard so God can approve you. be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Now, of course, that's something else that we should be doing when we're working, whatever we're doing, wherever we are. I don't care if you're a mother, a housekeeper, if you're a dentist, a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, a plumber, or whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord and work hard, and if you do, God will bless you. In fact, the other night at 9 o'clock, I had to run over to Lowe's to get some pipe and some stuff, and I thought when I come back, it was about 9 o'clock, and I thought, well, I'll stop by the gas station there and fill my truck up with gas. And, of course, I had that pipe sticking out the corner of my pickup there. They were 10 foot long. It's just over sticking the back of the truck a couple of feet. So a guy that's a plumber pulled up to get gas, and I'm putting gas in mine. And he walks around by the pipe and, of course, has to go around the pipe. And he says, you know, that stuff right there is hard work. So I just said hi, and he went on the inside, and he come out. And when I got through putting it in there, I said, walked over, and I saw his truck, plumbing company, so-and-so. I said, so you're a plumber, huh? He said, yes, I am. He said, it's hard work. I said, yeah, I know. I've done it. I said, but I'll tell you what. I said, I am grateful that I am still able to do it at 9 o'clock at night after working all day long. He said, well, you're a young man. You ought to be able to do it. He's all gray-headed and old, and, you know, he's 60, nearly 60. He's ancient. He knows he's ancient. And I said, well, I'm sure glad I'm young. He said, how old are you, sir? I said, in December, I'll be 72. He said, no way. He said, I hope I just live to be 72. I don't know whether I'll be able to do what you're doing or not if I just live that long. Well, now see, he's got the wrong attitude. He's got the wrong attitude. He needs to go in it. I told him, I said, well, here's the secret. I said, you probably want to know what my secret is. He said, I'd love to know what your secret is. I said, the secret is putting God first in everything you do. Well, now that went right over his head. He did not understand what that meant, but I told him. So, it says there, avoid godless, foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. Now, you get a bunch of men together. Of course, women are not quite as bad, I don't think.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Use God's Mighty Weapons, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.